Welcome everyone to the Love Evolved podcast. This is Leanne Lopinto. I am a psychologist, a relationship coach, and a breathwork teacher based in Los Angeles, and I work with people both one-on-one and in groups. My work is really centered around relationships, and so really healing relational wounds to be able to step into this next level of relationships that are really becoming available to us right now. And so I focus on highly conscious relationships and also spiritual partnership. But before we can get there, we really need to have a strong and solid foundation of healthy relationship skills. And so that usually involves going back and healing core wounds, moving towards secure attachment, really healing self-love and self-worth, learning about boundaries, open, honest communication. These are all of the things that I work on with clients and in groups. And then moving up to learning about healthy, conscious relationship principles and how to work with relationships to help us to heal and grow and evolve together in partnership. And then moving up into high levels of spiritual partnership. And so that is the work that I am so passionate about. This podcast is a good place to start. You can also go to my website. If you're interested and you need support one-on-one, please just feel free to book a free 30-minute call with me. We typically go pretty deep, even though it's a short call. I give you as much support as possible, and then I will send you resources over email afterwards. And it's an opportunity for you to get to know me better, see if we're a good fit for working together. And I just love to meet new people. So I invite everyone to do that. The link is in the show notes. Okay, welcome everyone to episode 37. And this is going to be focused on codependency and how it shows up in parenting. And so after I recorded that over 2-hour lesson all about codependency, so many of you watched it. If you didn't, I am putting a link in the show notes. It's called The Trap of Codependency and How to Break Free. And I got so much feedback from you all about how helpful that was. It was a really comprehensive overview of what codependency is, how it shows up in relationships, and how you can heal from it. And some of the messages that I got asked me to expand on how codependency shows up in parenting, which is a question that I absolutely love, because a lot of times we tend to think of codependency as showing up in romantic relationships. That's kind of what our minds automatically think about when we think about codependency. However, codependency shows up everywhere. If you're the person who kind of has these tendencies, then it will show up in almost all your relationships, really, and can even extend beyond relationships to all areas of your life, how you show up in your career, how you show up in the relationship with yourself. It can really extend and influence every area of your life. And so I really am excited to go deeper on how this shows up in parenting after I have learned so much about codependency and also healed from it in my own life. I began to really get more focused on how I was needing to clean up some things in my own life with parenting my son. And so this is something that is really, really critical for parents to listen to. And you know, if we don't do this work so often, we just pass on these tendencies to our children. And so when you show up in the parenting relationship and you carry these codependent ways and behaviors into the parent-child relationship, this is obviously happening unconsciously, but you know, still when this is happening, this really just kind of cycles, and then your child grows up with these tendencies and then the cycle just continues. And so this work is so incredibly important. And so even if you're not the parent of a child and you're listening to this, this can actually be really helpful to because it focuses on the parent-child relationship. It can help you get a better understanding of maybe how this developed for you in childhood. And also, of course, if you're planning on having children, this is a great episode to listen to. And so before we get into the content today, I just wanted to say I know that it has been probably over 2 months since I recorded a podcast episode. I just want to assure you all I'm not going anywhere. The amazing and also interesting thing that happens when all of a sudden people are listening to your podcast is then you become responsible to be on a regular schedule. And so, yeah, I just really appreciate all of you asking me when the next episode is coming, and I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, I promise. I just wanted to update you as to why things have been so busy over here. It definitely has not been quiet. I have not been just sitting on the couch all day. There's a reason that I have not had time to record. And yet at the same time, it really is, this podcast is something that I love so, so much. And so it's just requiring me to get more organized with my time and make space every 2 or 3 weeks to record an episode. So I will really try to be better about that. The first thing I wanted to share is, you know, February was such a huge month for me. It was the month where I was on the Here for the Truth podcast with Joel Neurosimos. That was the biggest platform that I've ever been on. And those two guys are just incredible. We had such a good conversation. If you don't know them or that podcast, I highly recommend it. They're such good guys and they cover all sorts of incredible topics in the truth community, but they're so grounded and they're so cool. They have a great sense of humor. And so that episode was called The Art of Conscious Relationships. And we really got into all of it. We even talked about parenting as well. If there's parents listening to this episode, that's a good one to listen to as well. In addition to just if you're interested in, to hear my take on conscious relationships. And we also got into sexual sovereignty, which was and is a topic that I'm really incredibly interested in and doing a lot of work around, both in writing and teaching and also with my clients as well. Sexual sovereignty, for those of you who don't know, that's basically just reclaiming your authentic sexuality, cleansed and cleared of any trauma, programming, and conditioning that has shaped it and molded it into something that's not actually yours. It has become distorted and hijacked, and we don't want that, right? We want to live lives where we are liberated and we are being our true authentic self. And so I have a whole article on Substack that gets into sexual sovereignty is also part of the book that I'm writing. And so that's another reason why things have been really, really just a lot on my plate. And I love every minute. So I hope nobody listening feels bad for me. I love everything. I just need to figure out how to balance and focus all my attention on all of these different areas, because I not only have the podcast, I also have Instagram, I have Telegram, I have Substack. Sometimes I post on YouTube. I have my email list, and now I'm writing a book. So there's so many different channels. And of course, you know, the major work that I do is one-on-one with clients during the day, during the week. And so that's kind of my 9 to 5 during the week with clients. So yeah, this is my passion. It's my mission. I have such a drive for it. And now I just need to kind of do the next level of time management. So the book that I'm writing is called The War on Love, Sex, and Relationships, and the subtitle is The Path to Divine Union, because the reason that there's a war on love, sex, and relationships is because of the path to divine union. This is a huge reason why, because the way that I teach and talk about relationships and support people is around how you can actually use relationships for healing, for growth, and for evolution. And this is no joke. The potential is huge, huge in terms of how you can start to use relationships at all of these different levels. So some people come and they still have to do a lot of healing of childhood wounds, of relational patterns that aren't working. And so there's a major sort of healing phase that you can do, both, you know, internally with your own self work and also in the context of relationship, not just with a partner. Yes, that's a very, very, a very intense and profound container to work on healing, but you can also do this in other relationships with friends, with family members, and even, you know, the relationship with your child can be healing as well. And so this is, you know, maybe I'll include some of that as well in this episode, talking about codependency in parenting and how you can actually really flip it to have not only a healthy, functional relationship with your child, but also moving into conscious parenting where you can use the container of parenting for healing. And so this is, you know, a very nuanced conversation. So I'll get into that later. But this book on the war on love, sex, and relationships has been a focus of mine over the past 2 years. I talk about it a lot in my work, and so I know that some of you who have been following me for a while now know that I have been speaking about this over the past 2 years, you know, not even just every so often. It's been a consistent thread in the work that I've been putting out there. So this book is really something that is going to be a profound project. I'm very proud to announce that also in February, I wrote an article on Substack. It's my last one on there. It's called The War on Love, Sex, and Relationships. And so this article is very long, as most of my articles there are. But that article was so exciting for me to publish because it's basically the outline of the book. And so it really takes you through what is the path to divine union? What are these three levels that I keep talking about, from basic relationships up to conscious relationships and then divine union? That is the path, and it's very in depth. And then getting into why there's a war on love, sex, and relationships, and what are some of the weapons being used? What are some of the strategies that are being used to erode healthy, happy relationships? And so I'm going to link that article in the show notes. And so if you're interested to see what this book is shaping up to be, you can read that article. And yeah, much, much, much more to come on that front. Okay, so now let's transition into our topic today of this episode, which is how codependency shows up in parenting, in the parent-child relationship. This is an episode that I hope a lot of people listen to now. I know that it might just be kind of a subset of the audience of people that have kids, but I really hope that more people listen to this because it provides sort of a different angle into understanding codependency. And like I said earlier, if you're somebody who just wants to understand a little bit more about how this can all play out in childhood, you know, with how maybe your parents influenced you to become codependent, this is a good episode for you to listen to. Now, I just wanted to start out with a quote from Pia Melody, and you know, this comes from her book, Facing Codependence, which I highly recommend. I also recommend about 4 other books in the lesson that I taught on how to break free of codependency. And so this is one of them that's very excellent. Pia Melody is known to be an expert in codependency, and the way that she writes is she gives it to you very, very straight. I really appreciate her writing is crystal clear. It doesn't beat around the bush, and it just gets straight to the heart of the matter, of the truth of the situation. I really appreciate the way she writes. Her writing style may not be for everybody, but I encourage you to lean into it because, especially if you're someone who has codependent tendencies, it might be important for you to build a certain amount of resilience to facing truth and even to speaking your own truth in your own life. This is something that I can really relate to. And so, you know, some people who have codependency can be a little bit on the sensitive side. This is not always correlated together, but, you know, people who are empaths, who sort of get taken advantage of, who don't have really good boundaries, this can all sort of tie together. I'm really speaking of my own patterning when I was younger. But this has been a really important thing for me to move towards, not only in being able to hear other people just speak truth, of course, in a loving way, right? I'm not talking about being able to absorb, abusive language or anything like that, but, you know, just truth. Just stated truthfully, I think that as a collective, we need to develop a little bit more of a spine when it comes to this. I think collectively people are running around, getting very, very triggered, and maybe perhaps are being overly sensitive. And it's time for us to come back to center a little bit. And so I highly recommend her book. And I just wanted to start out with a quote that she has, which is that codependency will not go away on its own. This is something that's very, very true. And this is important to just say because a lot of people who have codependency also have the habit of sweeping things under the rug and of kind of running in the other direction. And yeah, you know, facing our stuff can be hard. That's another quote that she has in this book, is that, you know, facing your stuff, that the step one is actually pain, which means that you have to face the truth of the situation. It is not always easy to do shadow work. I can tell you straight up from my own experience. And so this is why I've dedicated my life to helping other people with all of this, because I've been through all of it myself. And this is the number one reason why people feel like they can come to me and be open and honest, because they know that I've been through stuff myself. They know I can understand. I'm not just speaking from this place of having, you know, read textbooks and all that. Like, I'm doing this because it is literally part of the reason that I was put here, to go through the thing, come up and out, help other people. And so, you know, codependency in and of itself is, it's, I'm not going to go super, super deep, because like I said, I taught for 2.5 hours on codependency. And so I'm not going to really just, you know, regurgitate that information here. I highly recommend that if you haven't watched that already, maybe you want to pause this and go back and watch that first. You can totally listen to it anyway, and then go back later if you're interested. But, you know, for me, in a nutshell, when I think about codependency and really like the heart of what it is, for me, it really is about somebody who has a void or a hole internally, a deficit that they feel, right? This is all unconscious most of the time. And so in this void, they are trying to seek externally to fill this void, usually with relationships, right? Or multiple, you know, a relationship with a significant other or multiple relationships. And so this usually stems from a lack of internal self-love. There's sort of like that deficit of self-love. And so they have to seek externally to, you know, fill this void. Now, a lot of times this happens unconsciously, as I said, but sometimes people are conscious of it as well. And so not only does it stem from a lack of internal self-love, but it usually is also exacerbated when the person does not have a healthy relationship with a higher power as well. And so these two things, right, the relationship with God and a relationship with ourself, a healthy self-love internally, are really our two main sources in a functional, happy, healthy individual. And so when we don't have these sources in place that we're sort of filling ourselves up with, right, our internal self-love, and then also that source from a higher power, then we seek externally. So this can look like relationship addiction, codependency, you know, substance addiction, all this stuff. And as it relates to codependency, as I shared in the video about the trap of codependency, this also correlates to anxious attachment, or, you know, always being a helper or a fixer to other people. And, you know, people who are rescuers or helpers, they don't generally know this, but what they're really doing to fill that void internally is they're always showing up for other people, because that is how they're gaining their level of internal self-worth. Now, sometimes codependency can be confusing, because it actually is describing a couple of different polar opposite ways of being. So the type of codependence that I often focus on is the one that's more more commonplace in terms of how it's taught, which is that, you know, we have low self-esteem and low self-worth, and therefore we seek externally. This often shows up as anxious attachment. However, codependence can actually also be the opposite end of the spectrum, where people have, you know, due to parenting, the child will grow up with an inflated sense of self-esteem. And so, you know, what's more commonly referred to nowadays is narcissistic types of behavior. And so it can also cause that as well. And so the way that Pia Melody speaks about this in Facing Codependence, she kind of outlines these two polar opposite ways. However, because most of the people that I work with, and also myself included, come from having low levels of self-worth, and that's, you know, 99% of the people that I work with, I often talk about it from that angle. But it's really, really interesting if you think just for a moment about how these two polar opposite ways show up in relationships, and how we're always trying to shoot for a healthy middle way. You know, these show up so often. So I'll just kind of share a few of them here. It's, you know, it's sort of that empath and the narcissist, two polar opposite ways of being that I talk about a lot. It's also, you know, the anxious attached, and then on the other end of the spectrum, avoidant attached. and how always, you know, that middle way of secure attachment is always the way. And, you know, in the empath and the narcissist dynamic, for example, the empath actually has to move more towards center and the narcissist has to move more towards being an empath, right? And so both of them have to move to that healthy middle way. This is something that just keep your eye on it when it comes to relationships. It'll help you to start to kind of zoom out and understand some of these bigger collective patterns, right? It even correlates too with some of the parenting styles, which is these two polar opposite ways of parenting, which is authoritarian and then permissive. Those are two opposite ends of the spectrum. And so, you know, just keep all of these in mind. They've really helped me to sort of put the pieces together on a bigger level on how all of these things kind of feed into each other. So it's very, very interesting. Okay, so with all of that in mind, just thinking about kind of what the heart of codependency is, I'm going to talk a little bit about how this shows up in parenting. And so, you know, unfortunately, I do see quite often, especially nowadays with the rise of permissive parenting, and I shouldn't even say the rise anymore because this is just the predominant way in the collective. Permissive parenting is really when the parents don't have very good boundaries with the children. They just kind of let the kids run the show. There's really no limits. There's a lack of structure and rules, and it's, you know, this is in whatever way, shape, or form, this is the predominant way now. And so because my generation grew up having, you know, more on the authoritarian end of the spectrum where, you know, it was very common when I was growing up for children to get spanked and we got spanked and all this. And of course, worse, much worse than that. And there just wasn't really a consideration of the child's feelings or, you know, involving them in decisions or conversations. And so now my generation, having grown up and having, you know, to recover from trauma of that, many fellow parents and, you know, myself included in my early days when I was, even before my son was born, I, you know, made a vow, as so many people do, I'm not ever going to do it that way. So I'm going to do it very, very different. And so it kind of plays out one of two ways. It plays out of what I just said, where you kind of swing to the opposite end of the spectrum. Or it can just play out in terms of, okay, so that's what you learned. Even though maybe you didn't like it, it sort of just transferred to the way that you parent your own children. So it can play out like one of two ways. Okay, so codependency in parenting is something where, you know, I have so much to say about it. When I think about the first thing I want to share is really when you are going into the parenting relationship with unhealed codependence and you still have that void internally that you're seeking externally to fill, right? Like there's some kind of a deficit. You need relationships and other people to validate you. You need other people to, you know, constantly be filling up your cup because you don't have an internal sense of self-worth. How might this show up in parenting? So a lot of times this can show up as the relationship between parent and child just doesn't have very good boundaries. This is where the permissive parenting style kind of comes in here because, you know, the parent often just wants to be friends with the child. There's really no structure. There's no understanding that the parent is the authority. They are the leader. And, you know, these words alone might trigger some people, but that's really just how it's meant to be. The parent is an adult who is mature and who is meant to be teaching a child how to grow up and take care of themselves. That is a core purpose of the parent-child relationship. And so if you are trying to be friends with your child, then, you know, you're going to have a really hard time setting limits and boundaries with them. And of course, all of this stuff, you can do it in this very loving, healthy middle way where you can set boundaries and limits with your child, but you can do so in a very respectful way where you explain, you know, what you're doing. And it doesn't have to be this dictatorship. This is really the core of authoritative parenting, which is the middle way. Okay. Authoritative is very different from authoritarian. Those two terms get confused a lot, but authoritative parenting, which I highly recommend that you do your research, has been shown to time and time again in research to actually produce the best outcomes for kids. And so this is setting boundaries with love, really. And so many times when the codependency kind of seeps into the parent-child relationship, that parent has not really fully entered adulthood themselves. They might have poor boundaries in all of their relationships. And so, of course, in the parent-child relationship, it's going to show up there. They have a very difficult time really standing in their own truth, right? They might be people pleasers. This might show up in the relationship with the children. This is really, really unhealthy with when people pleasing shows up in the relationship with the child, because then all of a sudden, you know, whether the child knows it or not, they're kind of the ones who have the upper hand. If you're seeking to be validated by your child, then you're going to do all sorts of stuff to sort of get your child's approval about you. And so this is something that I just want people to start to really watch. Is any people-pleasing tendencies coming into the relationship with your child? Or are you really confident in who you are, and do you not need all of this external validation? You know, this is, I'm not saying that you can't have a good, healthy, loving relationship with your child. However, there does need to be a clear structure that the parent is the one who is in control. They make the final decisions, right? There's lots of room to be had for the child to explore their own interests and, you know, child-led learning, and all of that is great as long as there is still that understanding that the parent is the one who is actually the one who's in charge ultimately at the end of the day. And sometimes that includes making decisions that the child doesn't like all the time. And that's okay. The child doesn't have to like every decision that you make. So as parents know, you know, one real obvious example here is bedtime. Most children resist bedtime. I mean, not all children do, but many do. And so this is one example of how, you know, especially if you've had really good structure and routine around bedtime, it's really something that doesn't really become an issue. You know, my son knows the structure and the routines. He's in his teen years now. And so he already knows. And so when you have difficulty or you have wobbly bedtime routines, right? And this has just been sort of not something that has been firm or structured since the child was little. And at worst, there's sort of like just no structure at all around it. And the child can go to bed whenever they want to. This is not a good thing. And so, you know, again, Pia Melody, actually, she doesn't mince words here. She will actually call permissive parenting abusive, because this is something where then the child does not learn how to appropriately take care of themselves. I know that's really going to trigger some people, but I really want people to just sit with the fact that, you know, allowing your children to do whatever they want without limits, it's called spoiling your children. And then they grow up and they do not actually know how to be responsible, right? They don't know how to actually take care of themselves. They don't know how to take care of their own needs. And this also really is shaping a generation of people who have a lot of narcissistic behaviors, a lot of childish behaviors, and have not properly entered into adulthood. So I'm going to get into that a little bit deeper, you know, this whole problem of wants and needs and taking care of yourself. But I just wanted to kind of state that up front as I get into this. Another big problem with codependency in parenting, in the parent-child relationship, is this idea of enmeshment. And so there is just, as enmeshment can show up in adult relationships, the same thing can happen in the parent-child relationship, where there's no boundaries. There's just this merging. And so, you know, Pia Melody actually calls this emotional incest, which I hate that phrase, but that's actually what it is. When there's no sort of boundaries and sense of self separating the parent and the child, neither of them has any sort of privacy or, you know, space. And so this can be very, very damaging for children. They don't grow up understanding that they actually are a separate person, right? And they have a separate identity. This is very problematic, not only in childhood, but especially in the teenage years. When you're a teenager, the whole developmental purpose of that time is to actually individuate from the parent, to actually find your own sense of self, separate from the family, separate from your parents. That's when you actually find yourself and you start to stand on your own two feet in the world. And so when there's any enmeshment, this can actually really kind of delay or totally block that process. And so again, this is something the parent has to take responsibility for. It is not the child's fault that all this is happening. And then that child, if this behavior continues, is going to have to, you know, either do major work on themselves, as so many of us have had to do in our adult life, or they're going to just repeat all of this in their dysfunctional adult relationships. And it's just not a good situation. Another thing that I wanted to talk about with how this shows up, with how codependency shows up in parenting, and it kind of ties into what I was just saying, but there's this over-involvement in the child's life. And so I see this especially with single parents, or when, let's just say, a marriage or relationship between the mother and father maybe isn't that great. And so then it's sort of the child in the child's life becomes this thing that is preoccupying the adult, because they're actually not getting fulfillment in their primary adult romantic relationship. Again, with single parents, this can happen a lot of times too. And they're unconsciously making the child their spouse, kind of. And I know that seems really weird, but you know, they're essentially filling the void that they feel internally with the child's life. And they're not actually giving them space, right, to develop their own sense of self and independence. The over-involvement is so common right now, so common. Now, we're not saying to go to the other extreme and not be involved at all, right? Everything that I teach is the healthy middle way. You want to be involved with your children's lives, of course, but in a healthy way. You don't want to be over-involved and you don't want to be under-involved. And so there's so many negative impacts that this has on children, this whole codependency and parenting thing. So the first thing is that the child does not learn healthy boundaries because their parents don't have healthy boundaries. And so therefore, they're, of course, at risk for codependency themselves, or even allowing themselves to get into abusive situations in adulthood. Basically, they stay very immature, almost like a child, even when they enter into adulthood. And you know, children who had all of their wants and needs met by their parents, rather than being taught to actually take care of their own wants and needs themselves along the way, turn into adults who are overly dependent on other people. And so obviously this can lead to a lack of functional relationships in adulthood. They basically continue the codependency cycle, and their adult relationships can sometimes look like a parent and a child relationship, right? One partner can actually be the sort of over-controlling, overly mature adult, and the other person can kind of be the needy, helpless child. And so this is not a functional, healthy romantic relationship. And yet, just to kind of say it sort of bluntly, this is what actually happens. And so just speaking truth to this can allow you to start to just get real, and then you might start to see it all over the place, right? Now, on the other hand, children who were actually sort of abused or neglected for having needs in childhood, they often grow up to be the polar opposite. They're sort of anti-dependent. They take care of all their needs by themselves. It's hard for them to ask for help. However, they are often lacking in their adult lives in needs that you can only get from other people, such as intimacy, physical, emotional nurturing. And they sometimes have difficulty even pinpointing their own needs. They might be low maintenance, and these people tend to always be the rescuers or the fixers of other people. Now, in both of these cases, there's damaged self-esteem. There's either low self-esteem or there's inflated self-esteem. And so, you know, this is something where I just wanted to talk a little bit about the energetics of all of this, because as I was listening to, there was a really, really good Alpha Vedic podcast with Joel Schaefer, who was talking about shamanism, actually. But they were talking a little bit about energy leaks in relationships, and it was really interesting. I will link the episode in the show notes for you. But they were talking about how you know, there's this huge, massive energetic leak with parents to children, right? And so, yes, of course, when the child is a baby, when they're very small, the parent naturally has to give an enormous amount of energy and life force energy to the child, right? This is just what happens. But as the child grows up, becomes more independent, this should kind of start to pull back little by little. Now, think about this energetically in terms of an energetic cord from the parent to the child. What happens a lot of times is that parents don't understand that they not only can pull back, but they should actually start to pull back so that the child can grow up and mature. The maturation process happens only when we start to pull back and give the child space to actually become a young adult. They need the friction of the outside world, of facing challenges, of growing, you know, into healthy adults who can face hard things, right? That they can face bumps in the road. They need this. And so unfortunately, what is happening is that parents still have this huge, thick energetic cord attached to their children. They have a hard time pulling back. And then that child is just always dependent in that way. Now, this again is the parent's responsibility to understand this and take all of the energy, right, and start to pull it back into themselves. Now, this is also part of the parent actually sort of reclaiming their own energy so that they can, you know, then return back to themselves as well, right, to start to focus their time and their energy slowly, little by little, maybe in other places, right? Maybe in their other relationships, maybe in their career or their life purpose or whatever it is, right? The parent-child relationship is not meant to be an adult and a child all throughout the child's life, right? And so this is unfortunately what we're seeing is that there's adult men and women whose parents have never learned how to let go. And there really is, you know, from an energetic perspective, there's an energetic cord that is attaching these two individuals together, right? And so sometimes cord cuttings do need to happen. And so I highly recommend, you know, doing a cord cutting if you're an adult who really feels that your parent is overly involved, even as you are an adult. And so this can have negative energetic consequences. So, you know, I'm going to kind of start to talk about how we can stop doing all of this. I would say, you know, the first thing is to learn about what codependency is. If you're someone who believes that you are struggling with codependency, please learn about what this is and please start to work with a professional to heal. Okay, this is something like Pia Melody said, this is not going away on its own. We have to take responsibility as adults to heal from this. Okay. It's no one else is going to do it for us. I can tell you from experience in my own personal life, it does take work, but it's 100% possible. And the result is that you can enjoy happy, healthy relationships with everybody around you. And so there's a couple of different resources I'm going to point you to. I've been mentioning the Facing Codependence book by Pia Melody. That's a great one. I also highly recommend that you watch the over 2-hour lesson that I taught on the trap of codependency and how to break free. That actually is a really good place to start because it's super comprehensive and it covers a lot of ground. And I also spend a lot of time on how you can heal. And so healing is something that you can and you should do, you know, through starting to learn about it, but you really need to be able to work with a professional. I don't really think that this is something that you can overcome on your own. I'm just going to really give it to you straight. And so please reach out to a professional to work with them on healing codependency so that it doesn't show up in your parenting, so it doesn't get passed down to your children. This is incredibly important. You can always reach out to me. You can find your own therapist. Please just get support from somebody. So on Instagram, I got a few questions that people wanted me to address in this podcast episode. So the first one is, if I have codependency in my marriage, am I more prone to do the same to my child? Yes, the answer is yes. I spoke about that a little bit, but yeah, if it shows up in one of your relationships, it's basically going to show up in all of your relationships in one way, shape, or form. Okay, the second question is, how will kids absorb our codependency and then become codependent in their adult relationships? This is a great question because this person understands that if we are showing up in a codependent way and this is coming into our relationships, then yeah, the children will pick this up. So I spoke a lot about that in this episode. Hopefully I answered your question on that one. Okay, then I got a great request from one of my male colleagues that has to do with the mother-son relationship. And so he wanted me to talk about, I'm just quoting, when mothers insist their sons reciprocate the unconscious emotional enmeshment that she pushes for, which then leads the adult man who desires intimacy but also runs from it because they've been conditioned to believe that intimacy leads to being smothered and demanded from. Part of the emotionally unavailable male is, I think, playing out a mother wound where his availability was not respected by his own mother. He protects it the only way that he knows how, which is distancing. Yes, absolutely 100% to all of this. And as the mother of a son, I really, wow, I mean, I care so deeply about the state of men right now. And I do think that on the collective, I'm definitely not the only person to say this, but you know, the mother-son relationship on the collective right now has produced a generation of men that is just not fully functional on their own, really stuck in a pretty immature way of being. And yeah, the parenting is only one aspect of it, but this is a very powerful force. As we all know, when we delve into our own psychology, our relationship with our mother and father really, you know, it's quite a big chunk of a lot of the inner work that we have to do. And so, yeah, when mothers sort of, you know, there's that emotional incest going on, that enmeshment where they, you know, they cannot allow, the boy or the young man to actually become his own person. She's, you know, smothering, overly involved, enmeshed. There's just that, that blurring of the boundaries. It is absolutely not a good situation. And yeah, so it either produces a man who is emotionally unavailable and avoidant in relationships, or it's going to produce a man who is overly dependent, right? It could go either way. So what I would say is that mothers of sons have to be especially vigilant because this has had a major negative impact on men and young men and boys currently. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of good books on how to raise boys. I have them on my bookshelf. I can't actually see the titles of them right now, but I'm going to include some of them in the show notes. And, you know, whether it's the mother-son relationship, the father-daughter relationship, or just, you know, either way, when there's over-involvement, when there's enmeshment, lack of boundaries, and all of this stuff just really leads to negative outcomes. It does not produce healthy, secure attachment. It leads to dysfunctional adult relationships. And so all of this is, on the collective, things that we are struggling with right now. And so, you know, this is why I really, if I have to strip it down to the basics for people that are trying to have healthy relationships and who seem to be struggling, I would say, number one, learn about codependence, because this is something that impacts the vast majority of people out there. I don't love labels, but, you know, in my practice as a psychologist, I kind of have gone from the very beginning stages of loving to learn about all of the different you know, labels and things out there that have diagnoses, to then swinging after I got just completely fed up with the whole system and really rejecting all labels. So now just coming to like a healthy middle ground of like, these are really just words to describe patterns of behavior that pop up time and time and time again. Now, I'm not talking about all the DSM-5 criteria and diagnoses right now. I'm just talking about, you know, these patterns that are absolutely undeniable, like codependence, avoidant attachment, right? Anxious attachment, empath, narcissist, the stuff that I talk about in my work. This is just, I had to really start to reclaim these labels without, you know, getting fixated on these things, and with understanding that we all can move towards the healthy middle way. And in fact, this is what our soul is actually calling for on the level of soul development and evolution. These things are coming up for a reason so that we can actually learn how to overcome them by becoming more balanced, right? If you're on the extreme of any sort of thing, it's always about coming back into the middle way. And so this is why stripping down just the advice to people, right, who are struggling with relationships, I mentioned earlier, learn about codependence, learn about secure attachment. Okay, those two things are huge. Again, I'm just going to point you to the lesson that I did, because all of this stuff I cover what this looks like, codependence, and I also talk a lot about secure attachment. So these are the building blocks, the foundations to healthy, solid adult relationships, mature relationships. And so we can't actually rise above this level until we have this in place, until we're healed. And so many of you know my model. This is really just level one. However, the vast majority of people need to spend time here, because you can't really effectively move up to what I call level two, which is practicing healthy, conscious relationships to start to use them for growth and evolution, right? That's level two. You can't really start to do that until you have a strong and solid foundation. So that's why I talk a lot about codependence. I talk a lot about secure attachment and how to build these things, because having worked one-on-one with over 1,000 people at this point, in addition to walking through literally everything in my own life, I really am boiling it down to the most important things that you have to focus on, okay? Time and time and time again, these are the things that I see that people are struggling with. And so really just, you know, start to get focused. I know there's a ton of relationship advice out there. There's so much noise right now. Please just bring it back to the basics. Figure out if you're still struggling with codependence, right? And if you still need to heal, which honestly, the vast majority of people are. I'm just going to be real with you. And then try to focus on healing from codependence and moving towards the middle way of secure attachment. Okay, these are your building blocks. If you do this, you will enter into your relationships with healthy, healed levels of self-love and self-worth, right? From doing the work around all of this. This is part of how you treat this. In addition to opening yourself up, ideally, to a relationship with a higher power, with God, to be able to understand, right? And get your self-worth from that place. I mean, I talk about that a lot. You can't really fully heal your relationship with self-love and self-worth unless you go to that next level and open up to this understanding that you're not just some accident, some random, you know, thing that happened when your parents like slept together and all of a sudden you're like here. You know, there's so much more to it. And so when you understand and you weave in the spiritual belief system and understanding that, yeah, you know, this is not an accident while you're here without, you know, allowing it to inflate your ego. It's not just you. This is literally everybody. And so we shouldn't have this self-love problem, right? I understand so many of us have to heal from abuse, from trauma, from neglect in childhood. I certainly did. But once you have that understanding, that spiritual understanding, like I just said, you know, having low levels of self-worth, that's just incompatible with that way. That's why I always say that you really need to incorporate the spiritual as well. And so just final words on codependence and how this shows up in parenting. I just really urge any of you listening, if you can really relate to any of this stuff, don't have shame about it. You know, just take steps, right? Every little step forward. I always say every little step forward counts and heals, right? And changes the game. Every little step forward. And so if there are things that you need to clean up in your parenting, great, right? Like this is me every day in my life. And so, you know, just do the work. Get honest with yourself. It's not even about you, right? I mean, it is, but like it's about your children. And so make sure that you understand that how you show up in your parenting relationship with them, it's impacting them for a lifetime. Now, at the same time, nobody's perfect. You don't have to put that pressure on yourself to be perfect every single day. Being human is actually amazing to model to your children. And if you mess up, you can apologize, you can say, I'm sorry, you can repair. That's all part of learning healthy relationship skills too as a child. Excellent modeling, right? So you don't have to put all this pressure on yourself, but you do have to have a healthy level of understanding how these things impact your child and just take responsibility and do the best that you can. And so I hope this episode was helpful. I couldn't possibly go into all the depth that I wanted to here because this is already about an hour, but I did point you to a couple of resources that will take you very, very deep And if you have any questions or comments, just please reach out. You can email me. You can also just book a free 30-minute call with me and we can talk more about codependency. And so I will see you all soon. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps these episodes and this podcast get out to more people. I really appreciate it. And I also just have to give a big thank you to everybody who has been sharing the podcast with their friends and their family. I don't take that lightly, so thank you so much. And if you're somebody who could use support with relationships, please reach out. I work with women, men, and couples, and I also teach breathwork groups and lead women circles. And so you can message me on Instagram or you can email me. And everyone who's interested in the work I do should just book a free 30-minute consultation call. And I'll post all of the information on how to get in touch with me in the show notes. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.